Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the structural mechanics of the SpaceX IPO wave and what a $2 trillion market cap with a 4% float means for passive portfolios. The highest ISM manufacturing PMI print since May 2022, and the credit cycle implications that follow, and a monetary regime shift that's quietly redrawing the rails of correspondent banking and cross-border settlement. Let's start with the capital market story that every institutional portfolio manager needs to understand before it becomes a problem they're managing in real time. Professor Cam Harvey of Duke University's Fuqua School of Business, cited by 42 Macro's Darius Dale, uses a specific phrase to describe the mechanics of the pending SpaceX IPO wave. He calls the price appreciation dynamics structurally engineered rather than fundamentally derived. That framing is worth sitting with. Here's what's happening. SpaceX is approaching a public listing at an implied valuation of approximately $2 trillion. The reported public float is 4%. To put that in context, historical IPO norms run between 10 and 50% of shares available to the public. At 4%, you have an artificially restricted supply of tradable stock meeting accelerated mandatory passive demand, and that combination has mechanical consequences. The broader fintech pattern here is one of structural distortion compounding across multiple policy levers simultaneously. Index providers are reportedly amending profitability-based inclusion criteria to accommodate pre-profit issuers. SpaceX reported a net income loss of approximately $5 billion in its most recent fiscal year. Under traditional S&P 500 eligibility rules, requiring 4 consecutive quarters of GAAP profitability, SpaceX wouldn't qualify. Those rules are being modified. The passive demand math is quantifiable. Approximately $13.5 trillion in U.S.-domiciled passive index fund assets are subject to mandatory pro-rata rebalancing upon index inclusion. At a 5 to 6% implied S&P 500 weight for a $2 trillion market cap entrance, forced passive buying could reach $67 to $81 billion, a one-time demand shock with no historical precedent at this scale. For reference, Tesla's December 2020 inclusion, still the largest prior example, deployed an estimated $80 billion over a seasoning window that played out over weeks. The accelerated inclusion mechanics being discussed for SpaceX compress that window to day one or week one of trading. For active managers running fundamental short theses on pre-profit issuers with elevated multiples, this is not an abstract risk. Mechanical passive demand flows are indifferent to earnings quality. The fundamental thesis can be correct, and the trade can still be painful. Moving to the macroeconomic signal that reshapes rate path assumptions across every institution modeling loan demand through year-end. 42 Macro's Darius Dale confirmed that the ISM manufacturing PMI for June 2026 posted its highest headline print since May 2022, a 49-month high. The critical interpretive point Dale makes is that this indicator is a persistent leading indicator, not a coincident one. It reliably precedes business cycle peaks and troughs by measurable lead times, which means investment committees need to track not just the level, but the rate of change. A rising PMI with a decelerating rate of improvement is historically a late cycle warning, not an unconditional buy signal. For banking executives, business cycle reacceleration implies accelerating loan demand drawdown rates and upward pressure on longer duration yields, independent of Federal Reserve discretion. That has direct consequences for net interest margin modeling that can't wait for the next FOMC meeting. But here's the tension that makes this signal more complicated than it looks on a headline basis. Chris Irons on the Thoughtful Money platform reports that consumer credit stress indicators remain elevated, with credit card and auto loan delinquencies at or near 2008 financial crisis highs. Manufacturing reacceleration and consumer credit stress are coexisting in the same economy at the same time. The recovery is uneven across sectors, and that unevenness has direct implications for embedded lending underwriting models. FFT's Luke Grohman adds a specific sector warning: AI-driven employment displacement in labor-intensive verticals, restaurants, retail, construction, creates a 2 to 4 year window of elevated default risk for embedded lenders serving SMBs in those categories before the cost savings from automation actually materialize on their balance sheets. The automation dividend is real, but the timing mismatch creates a credit risk window that underwriting models calibrated on pre-displacement data will miss. Looking at the regulatory landscape, the monetary regime backdrop that underlies all of this is what Grohman and Incrementum's Ronald Peter Stoefferle are calling a structural shift, not a cyclical one. Global central banks purchased more than 1,000 tons of gold for the third consecutive year per World Gold Council data. Gold has now surpassed treasury holdings as the second largest reserve asset globally. The dollar's share of global foreign exchange reserves has declined from 73% in 2001 to approximately 58% in 2024, per IMF COFR data. That's a 15 percentage point decline over 23 years. Slow moving, but compounding, and it's accelerating. Grohman's policy thesis, what he calls pseudo-quantitative tightening, is that the Federal Reserve is likely to combine nominal bond sales with rate cuts and a potential reinstatement of the supplementary leverage ratio exclusion for Treasury securities. The Fed temporarily excluded Treasuries and reserves from SLR calculations in April 2020, which enabled an estimated $2 trillion in additional balance sheet capacity. A permanent or extended modification, per Grohman, could add $3 to $5 trillion in commercial bank treasury absorption capacity, a regulatory change of a magnitude not seen since Basel III post-2008. The practical consequence is that commercial banks become the marginal buyer of sovereign debt while maintaining Main Street lending capacity, which is a very different transmission mechanism than traditional QE. The tension Grohman's thesis creates is direct. Sustained manufacturing expansion historically correlates with upward yield pressure that would complicate any SLR-driven treasury absorption strategy. These two signals, the PMI reacceleration and the pseudo-QT thesis, are pulling in opposite directions on the yield curve, and the resolution of that tension is the rate path question for the second half of 2026. On the fintech infrastructure side, two regulatory developments are moving simultaneously and in opposite directions for platform operators. The BaaS funding environment is deteriorating. FDIC enforcement actions against Blue Ridge Bank, Evolve Bank & Trust, and Sutton Bank have driven partner bank compliance costs up 40 to 60% since the 2022 enforcement surge. BaaS program net interest margins have compressed from a range of 150 to 200 basis points down to 80 to 120 basis points. The structural consequence: an estimated 30 to 40% of BaaS platform providers, including Unit, Treasury Prime, and Synctera, are projected to exit or consolidate by end of 2027. Well-capitalized platforms with bank charter control are consolidating share. Undercapitalized intermediaries are facing forced exits. Building on that, the Genius Act for stablecoins, which passed the Senate in May 2025, establishes a federal licensing framework requiring one-to-one reserve backing and monthly attestation. This is the regulatory clarity that enables JP Morgan, PayPal, and regional bank entrants to pursue stablecoin issuance with defined compliance parameters. The implementation timeline runs 18 to 24 months post-enactment, which puts the first wave of compliant issuers in market in late 2026 and early 2027. More importantly, the cross-border opportunity this unlocks is material. Dollar-denominated SWIFT traffic has declined from 52% of all messages in 2015 to 42% in 2024. Brazil's PIX system has reached 160 million registered users, 78% of the adult population. India's UPI processed 18 billion monthly transactions as of June 2025. The Enbridge multi-CBDC platform, involving China, the UAE, Thailand, and Hong Kong, completed pilot transactions of $22 million and is targeting full commercial launch in this period. Cross-border payment costs on these rails are running below $2 per transaction versus $25 to $50 for SWIFT. For U.S. banks generating $8 to $15 billion annually in cross-border correspondent fees, the defensive case for early CBDC infrastructure positioning is straightforward. The Genius Act provides the compliance cover to pursue it. Finally, the EU AI Act enforcement deadline deserves a flag for any institution with EU-facing credit scoring, AML monitoring, or insurance pricing AI. The August 2026 deadline for high-risk AI system compliance requires conformity assessments, human oversight mechanisms, and explainability documentation. Non-compliance penalties reach up to 30 million euros, or 6% of global annual turnover, whichever is higher. For a 50 billion euro revenue bank, that's a maximum penalty of approximately 3 billion euros. Institutions that deferred gap assessments past Q1 2026 are now in material execution risk territory. FinTech Thesis Update for today, three structural forces are converging in a way that hasn't been visible in a single reporting cycle before. The engineered IPO mechanics of the SpaceX wave are creating forced passive concentration that active managers cannot trade against with fundamental tools. The PMI reacceleration signal is real, but coexisting with consumer credit stress that makes the recovery deeply uneven. And AI-driven labor displacement is adding a new underwriting variable that historical default models weren't built to handle. Underneath all of it, the dollar's reserve share decline and central bank gold accumulation are slow-moving but now operationally significant for correspondent banking revenue and collateral frameworks. The institutions that treat these as separate issues will be slower to adapt than those that see them as a single regime transition. Thank you for listening. That's your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer, Watching the Rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.